So good morning. My name is Brandon Pendleton. I am a volunteer here, and I serve on the New Hope leadership team, as well as I serve on the New Hope teaching team. I am just, honestly, I can't even go into my message without just giving God some praise. Let me just be honest with y'all. On my way into church, those last two songs that the worship team was singing is actually what I was listening to. And it wasn't one of those things where I was looking for something. It's just like, just let my playlist just randomly play. And it just was amazing to come into church and just like, God, you know, you're funny. It's like you're continuing the work that you were doing even while I was in the car on my way to church today, in terms of just getting my mind right to receive from him, to hear from him, but also to be used by him to encourage the fam here today. So anyway, I just had to get that, as Rusty says, get that thought bubble handled and just let y'all know that so I can move and focus in. But today we're wrapping up a series called I'm Glad You Said That. And to me, since Rusty started this series, it's really a scripture in Proverbs really resonated with me. And I feel like this series is really anchored within this, at least in my life, which is Proverbs 18, verses 20 through 21. It's not in your notes. It says, words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is gratifying as a good harvest. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. If this is your first time in New Hope, or you're jumping into this series, and we're not going to leave you hanging. I'm going to definitely do a recap of what we've been learning here, similarly to what Rusty has done week to week and what Rusty and Becky did last week. But I strongly encourage you to please go online and check out the messages and to really take some time to pray and listen and see what you can apply, as each one has a very unique but powerful takeaway that could help you. So Rusty mentioned that this idea of I'm glad you said that, it came from a wedding that he did this fall. And this wedding that he did was very special, close to heart, because it was for his daughter, Sarah. And Rusty, as he presides over weddings and things, he says he doesn't take those things lightly. You know, I think the phrase we've heard him say, for those who've been here for attending New Hope or partners here, we hear Rusty say this thing about mailing it in. You know, he doesn't just want to mail it in, take it as business as usual, but he really prays uniquely, just that God, what could God be using to say to this couple, to the family, to all those in attendance during the wedding. And what made this time even more special was the fact that it's someone very close to home for him. So he definitely wanted to make sure that he was giving something of impact. But more importantly, it was something that his daughter or even the other folks in attendance, they would be able to know that Dad really put in the work. Dad really was seeking the Father to not only share something with us, but to share something that he was striving to live himself. I think that's very important, because oftentimes what happens in life is that you get a lot of people who like to talk and sound like they're the subject matter expert, but they don't really practice what they preach. Or they don't even share the fact that they're in the process of still learning and growing. So the fact that he put in that work and the Lord led him on his heart to bring it back to the church, I think was pretty powerful. So here are some of the things that Rusty prays about when he goes into weddings and just relationships in general, which is this. He said, what helps relationships not just go the distance, but actually survive and thrive? He mentions that he also thinks about what makes a good marriage. What are the ingredients or the building blocks for a great marriage? What makes good friends not only last, but also get better over time? What are the common ingredients, and what makes healthy relationships sincerely get sweeter over time? So during prayer, and again, I think this backdrop is important, specifically for those who are just joining us for the first time during the series, what's very important about this is that he landed on six statements. Six very simple statements, 21 words, that really can make a significant impact and transform lives for the people that we have, that we share space with every day. So here's what here are the statements, and I'll recap those with here are the first 20 words, because today it's only one word that we got to focus on, and we'll get to that. So the first one is, the first statement is, I was wrong, please forgive me. And this is all about diffusing defensiveness and opening the door for healing, for repairing relationships. Another statement was, is there anything you need? Now, if any of you are like me, depending on who you're talking to, sometimes, you know, you might be a little careful with that statement because it can really disrupt something. It can disrupt my selfishness. Is there anything you need? It's a proactively seeking ways to serve others and to show compassion and genuine care for another person's well-being. Another powerful statement is, what do you think? It's a way to learn and to grow and to avoid problems by not making assumptions. It helps build respect and understanding. I don't know how many people, well, let me ask this question. How many folks in here are 90s R&B lovers? Any 90s R&B lovers in the building? All right, there we go. We got a few folks online. Just press the like button or something. Give a reaction. But do you all remember this group by the name of Escape? And they had this song called Understanding. And that song said what? Sing it with me. Psych, I don't see. But here it is. What I need from you is understanding. How can we communicate if you don't hear what I say? So that was powerful. What do you think? Building understanding. Another statement that Rusty mentioned was, I forgive you. Understanding none of us are always right. And that holding grudges causes more self-damage, because the choice to hold on to the grudge is more like drinking poison of bitterness, hoping that the others will die. Thus, there are healthy pathways to learning how to let go of different offenses in our lives. And then last week, Rusty and Becky brought home a powerful point about thank you. Simply just expressing appreciation to others for the big and small things. That gratitude can really go a long way. And today, to wrap up that 20, those 21 words, those six statements, we're talking about the simple word of yes. Some of us just got sweaty, didn't we? Yeah, because yes is a very powerful word. It's a word that, to quote a good friend, a simple yes is a complete sentence. It requires no further explanation or discussion. So yes is like a supportive word. It's validating and affirming someone. And so with that today, just really going to take three very simple points to unpack with this word yes. And prayerfully, it definitely something resonates with you that you can take home and apply to your lives. So the first point I want to make is that yes carries a lot of power. And when used well, it shows value and dignity to others. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 say, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. There's a book I was reading called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And it's a book by Marshall Goldsmith, who's an executive leadership coach. And just trying to be better, just trying to grow and learn and taking on mentors. You know, every now and then in your career, your life, you have a mentor, someone you can lean into and get some recommendations. Well, one of my mentors recommended this book for me. And what was interesting in this, he talks about 20 workplace habits that need to be broken. And the funny thing about these 20 workplace habits are these habits are things that actually help people succeed and move up the ladder in life or in their career journey. But ultimately, those things that once helped them were now becoming a stumbling block for them to progress and go further. And it's all built around relationships. It's all built around how you engage and how you talk to other people. Well, here's one of the habits that he mentioned that needed to be broken, which was the habit of starting a sentence with no, but, or however. And it was interesting because he says, this stifles conversation and it reduces engagement rather than opens up the floor for honest communication. Using these words are more harmful than helpful as you're trying to grow and build relationships. So here's the example he gave. He said there was a situation where there was a woman and she was presenting to the executive leadership in the organization. And as she was presenting, the issue that she raised was the lack of representation of women in leadership. And the highest ranking executive in the room basically told her, "You raised some interesting points, but." And what he said was interesting in that moment, someone else appeared to that executive, interrupted him and said, "Actually, sir, what the word that we meant to use was thank you." Because again, what happens is if we want to always start a sentence with no, but, however, and not speak, it really diminishes to the receiver of that message. It basically communicates a level of you're wrong, I'm right. There's nothing that you say that's valid. It's all about what I see and how I feel. And that's the point that ties to the point about value and dignity, because while we may disagree or have different perspectives, there's still a way that we can effectively communicate to someone by acknowledging and seeing them. Like Rusty, I always got to look at myself and see what closest relationships does this apply to? And there's nothing more closer than my relationship with my wife and my kids. And my wife has told me plenty of times, it's not that you have a different view. She said, "You don't even acknowledge or affirm what I'm saying to you. You just automatically go into your perspective." It's not always, but in those moments where she raises that to my attention, it's very humbling and frustrating because when I see her response, I see in her face a level of disappointment, not because I disagreed with her, but the simple fact that I didn't validate just a perspective that she had. So truly, the word yes alone gives opportunity just to acknowledge and see others for who they are and see their perspective. And it's empowering to them to continue to be who they are and continue to engage in the relationship. So if you want to continue to build, oftentimes we got to check that side of us. We're going to have to take a moment to think before we decide to go with a counter argument. The whole thing is always to think, is what I'm going to say actually going to help that person know that I still value them and I respect the dignity of who they are as the individual that they are? So that's point one. Yes carries a lot of power. Used well, it shows value and dignity to others. The other point I want to make is that we honor Jesus whenever we say yes to others. If doing so, we are not violating or overriding our yes to God. That was long, so I'll repeat that again. It says, we honor Jesus whenever we say yes to others. If doing so, we are not violating or overriding our yes to God. To some folks, this sounds like common sense. To others, this may be like, well, hey, I need a little bit of help. Well, I'm so glad that for those who need a little more help, let's unpack it here. Like in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 39, this is what Jesus said. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." The fact that I can say yes to whatever the request is, it's checked by the reality of, is this something that still honors God? And my support of this, and my affirming of this, is this something, am I affirming something that God actually says no? Am I affirming something that God actually says, I have a counter argument to that? We have to make sure that in the midst of in the midst of our goal to build healthy relationships, that we don't allow the desire for the horizontal relationships to take more value than God. That's to put it point blank, period, forward. And it's important because ultimately it's Him. He's sovereign. He's in charge. Here's the thing within our relationships that we also have to consider too. In Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He's planned for us long ago." And Hebrews 13:16, "And do not forget to do good and share it with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased." God has no problem with us supporting other people, helping, affirming. So much so, it doesn't violate what his stipulations, his guardrails. And I'll say this, and it takes us knowing God's word, right? It takes us spending time with God's word. It takes us having godly counsel in our lives, seeking wisdom, building relationships, whether through small group, through journey group, through our church community. And as we're going through and there are things that we're supporting or quote unquote endorsing, we have to make sure we're looking at it through the lens of God in that filter and respond appropriately and realize, you know what? I hear you. I want to support you. But this is not in alignment with what the Heavenly Father would have me do. So with that, we have to be very careful. So it's more of a cautionary statement that as you're looking and as we're building relationships with people, for example, at work. Work is always tough, a tough space when it comes to building relationships because we all want to thrive and do well and the opportunity in front of us to provide more or to progress more within our careers, that's always exhilarating and it's exciting, right? But the truth of the matter is there may be a request that gets presented before us that possibly might not be in alignment with what God would have us do. In those moments, that's where we have to kind of step up to the plate and not compromise in those spaces. So we honor Jesus when we say yes to others in doing so if we are not violating or overriding our yes to God. Because remember, at the end of the day, we're still going to have to give an account to Him for that. And we may make missteps. And that's the beauty of grace. It's the beauty of God's mercy that's there to where potentially we can go back and we can fix whatever it was that we may have overstepped. So the last point, and I really want to hang my hat here for the last few minutes that I have, is that saying yes reigns in selfishness and positions us to be an encouragement to others. Saying yes reigns in selfishness and positions us to be an encouragement to others. A disclaimer, because, you know, hearing this message in general about building healthy relationships, the statements that we can say to people that would help relationships strive and thrive, we can make the mistake in thinking that we can just easily say yes to anything and everything. And so the quick disclaimer here is that this message isn't a message to just encourage you just to open the gate and not apply thought to a yes. It's not one of those things. It's not intended to, I'm getting ahead of myself. The intention is more to encourage us to take personal inventory as to why we're saying no. It's to remember that we're not talking about enabling toxic or destructive behaviors. We're not talking about enabling things that puts our spiritual, emotional, physical, social well-being at risk. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about conforming or giving in to peer pressure because our friend wants us to do something or our boss wants us to do something that's not in alignment with what God would have us do. The yes cannot violate the yes to God. Rusty puts it like this, and I always enjoy conversations with Rusty, whether it's preparing for a message or him just giving me a few tidbits here, because Rusty has this way of just making the complex very simple for me. I hope you all would feel the same way. And he said, the principle is simply this, trying to find a way to say yes whenever we can and no when it's required. Say yes whenever we can and no when it's required. Proverbs 3:27 says this. It says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. So what's driving our no in situations when a request is made of us, a perspective is made of us, what's driving that no? How do we get to a yes? Where potentially is our pride or our ego in the way? Our intellect, because we're so experienced, right? We're so wise, we're so educated, right? We know better, right? Where could that be getting in the way to really building greater relationships with those that we have? So there are five specific areas that I really want to challenge, because what I like about New Hope, too, is that we're a thinking church, you know? We actually have people who, when I don't really get moved too much when we're quiet, because after church, a lot of folks and I have good conversation that lets me know during the service, people were really thinking about what was being shared. And so the first thing I want to offer is in this area of parenthood, for those of us who are parents, why are we saying no so much? Okay, I can make it personal for me. Why do I say no so much? In doing the homework, and it's not easy. And again, it's not one of those things where this out of bounds. It could be a simple request of, Dad, can I have a few more minutes to play my video game? Or, Dad, can we plan to go to the mall tomorrow? Why am I so quick to say no to such a very simple request that will breathe life into a relationship that I say I value and, quite frankly, I say I want to have? And looking at it deeply, the first inkling is truly seeing my own personal selfishness, because it's so easy to lean into, man, I'm tired. I worked a full week. I don't feel like going nowhere. I want to stay home. I want to enjoy my house. I haven't seen my house all week. I haven't seen my house for 2 weeks because I've been on the road and doing things back and forth except to sleep. I want to stay home. Or it's one of those things where I don't want you on the video game, because if you're on the video game and your mom come in the room, I'm going to find out this is going to happen. She's going to ask me this. You see where I'm going? My own selfishness, right? I'm always thinking about how it impacts me instead of me speaking life and encouraging, just giving a simple yes for something that's not harmful. Because in certain circumstances, the schoolwork's done. The chores are handled. All the responsibilities are in order. So what's wrong with a simple yes to a very simple request? Just a very basic example, but a real example that I do face in my life. Or even at work. For those of us that are leaders, we're executives, we have the power of the purse, we have the authority to where we speak, that people move into action. And someone actually presents a phenomenal idea to you or to even a board, and all they're asking for, and it's something that can make a significant impact and really help change and revolutionize whatever it is that needs to be done at work. But instead of giving that yes, an opportunity to endorse something and support someone, the response is easily no. What's driving that no? Could it be pride? Could it be fear that someone else in your organization might outshine you and then potentially put your position at risk because they're viewed as a more intelligent person than you? I'm not saying that's the truth. What I'm saying is that that's the fear. That's the thing that drives the no when there's opportunity that can endure and that can enable others to be very successful at the thing that they strive and want to do. And what does that do? And you can do the research. The research is out there about the power of leadership, encouraging and creating vision and supporting their people who want to take and run with things. All that's out there. But the point that I'm making in that is, if just a simple yes could really help people really have a greater responsibility and have greater meaning in their role on the job. Or perhaps it's not you're not a boss. But perhaps it's another coworker, and all they want from you is a perspective on something that they're working on. And they say, hey, how's this sound? This sounds great to me. Does this sound great to you? And quite frankly, in your mind, it's like, yes, this is amazing. But there's always this desire to try to add value. Always trying to say, well, yeah, this was good, but you could say this, but however, I think you could. What's driving that but or that however? What's driving, instead of providing a simple yes that would make someone feel very encouraged that that all the work that they put in makes sense and that their colleague who they trust, they've just presented just for a sanity check, a simple yes would do to help them move confidently in their role in the organization. But as a peer, you may say, I don't know if I need to give them that yes. You may not say it in that way, but your actions, the response, the emotional feeling we get in that, the selfishness. Because if I encourage you there, you make me look bad. My performance report in the quarter might look bad in comparison to you. Let's be honest. Some of us struggle with that, or some of us know people in our spheres of influence who operate in that way when a simple yes would do. Because it's truthful and it's encouraging and it's inspirational. We gotta check that selfishness at the door. For perhaps being a child, I know we have children, we have youth in the room, and you have friends in your friend circle, or sometimes the way you communicate with your parents is not necessarily desirable. And what happens is that your parent asks you a question. It's a very simple question about something, and just they're looking just to confirm that things were done appropriately. And instead of you simply saying, yes, Dad, yes, Mom, yes, Grandma, yes, whoever, who's that authority figure, that parent in your life that you respect, you give a perspective that's just completely different than that. Let's just say that. Sometimes, while I don't ever want to come across as if children should be as mature as adults because they haven't lived that long, at the same time that they're growing and learning, kids, you do, children, it's important for us, because I'm a child too, I'm my mama's baby, it's important for us to remember you also impact the authority figures in your life. So whether it's your teacher, your parent, your whoever, sometimes a simple statement of yes, acknowledging whatever it is, such as them calling your name and you responding to saying yes, and then putting an action behind that and returning, that goes a long way to building healthier relationships the way you show up there. Or perhaps a friend. Another way, another relationship, just in friendships in general. You know, I've evaluated even some of my friendships or even in my own immaturity throughout the years. And sometimes my friend would ask me certain things or make a request of me that's very simple. And I could just respond and say yes, but I'll give some little smart aleck response or something that's just completely, let's just say completely derogatory. In a way that doesn't really affirm them and help them with the feedback that they're looking for in that moment. And quite frankly, the next time they engage me, I see something different in how we talk. It feels different. It feels weird. Could it be that my simple statement or whatever I said just did not necessarily help them the way that I thought it was? Sometimes, in the aim to be witty or to be, you know, fun-loving and comical, some of that sarcasm stuff has to be pulled back a little bit. Because it doesn't really, because if you look at the fruit, granted, you have people in your lives who have the maturity, who can look at things through a filter, but if we're really honest with ourselves, if we can just look at the fruit in our lives, how much better those relationships would be if I can just simply affirm and see someone and say, you know what? Yeah, man, that sounds good. Yeah, I'm good with that. You want to go to this restaurant? Yeah. Why do you always got to choose a restaurant? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a good example. That's a phenomenal. Let's just sit there for about 30 seconds real quick. Instead of someone saying, hey, let's go to whatever tight restaurant that you like, because you may like the opposite. You know, they may want to go someplace where it's Italian, and you like, man, I don't like Italian, I like Chinese. Man, I don't want to go to Italian place, whatever, what? But sometimes it's a simple yes. It's like, you know what? You don't always have to conform to me. How about I jump in and support you and align with you? Because, again, it shows the selfishness. I don't always have to be comfortable. Again, I'm not talking about this discomfort in a way that's out of bounds or unethical or that puts our well-being in danger, but there are certain things, very basic, daily life things that can really help energize relationships if we just take hold of those opportunities and just pull back some of that wittiness. And the last relationship that I'll present is definitely a relationship with my spouse. I got so many examples in my mind right now while I was preparing this message, but where my wife Adoy, we've had conversations, and she actually would hit me with she would hit me with one of the statements from earlier, which is, what do you think? And we'll talk about whatever's going on, and she'll say, well, here's what I'm thinking about doing, and you know, what are your thoughts about getting behind this? And I could say yes, but I got to put my own seasoning on it, right? I got to throw my own perspective. Well, you know. And it's like, again, she hears it because, again, she realizes I opened the door. I asked him, what does he think? But the reality was, whatever she was presenting in that moment, it wasn't a bad idea. It was a great idea. I think a good example would be this. Vacationing. Where are we going to vacation? When are we going to vacation? All that fun stuff. And I know my wife is 100% concerned about the same things I am. But sometimes I can be really concerned about some of those things that really help enable us to really able to do certain things that we want to do. And so instead of a simple of, hey, babe, where are we going to vacation this summer? Or, baby, I want to go on a vacation this summer. And I can be like, yes, and, right? I can say, yes, and let's see how we can do that. Let's see how we can enable that. My thoughts are like, well, you know, I don't know about that. Where were this summer? Well, you know, we got this going on with the kids. We got that going on with the kids. All valid statements. But again, I'm talking about taking time with someone that I want to build a lifetime with. A lifetime. And we hear so much about how, at the end of the day, when I'm on my deathbed, the only people who are really going to be around me is my spouse, my kids, and my family, my loved ones. So why would I keep delaying something that would only help energize a relationship that I have committed myself to and she has committed herself to for a lifetime? Family, it's the scripture. The scripture says it's the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. And these 21 words, these six statements, I firmly believe are ways that we could truly overcome the little foxes in our relationship. those very basic things, commit, not just saying those things, but matching them with the actions, it can really help relationships soar. And as Rusty talked about, can really help them survive and thrive for a lifetime. We just got to learn how to stop being so self-centered sometimes. It's not always about us. It's about us building with others. And sometimes God has given us the means to enable people to be able to achieve whatever there is. And perhaps in some moments, the request is presented to us simply because God gave us the means to enable that. So in some cases, just think about this. In some cases, we are operating in disobedience to God if we say no, because he's the one who gave us the tools to be the blessing to those around us. That's a little heavy for some. I'm gonna leave that as something to take home and think about. Along with that, I really encourage you all to take the take-home sheet. In the take-home sheet, what you'll see is a structure in place that really encourages all of us to think about the relationships that we've interacted with in the past week, the different places, and really think about all the requests that were presented before us and see what's a yes versus look where we responded yes and look where we responded no. And prayerfully consider, God, is there something that we said no to that we actually should get behind? Because you never know. That's a good point. You would never know how much your yes is the answer to that person's prayer. And again, God can use you as the resource to be his hands and feet to achieving that blessing in their lives. It's not about us, family. Please pray with me. Father, I thank you for your desire and your drive for us to have healthy, horizontal relationships. Those within our immediate spheres of influence and those within our communities, our work lives, everywhere. Father, please help us to find these easy wins. These easy wins to building and encouraging and speaking life into those around us, God, that can really help support, whether it's us confessing that we were wrong or even us engaging in a way to dwell with someone and understanding, or a simple yes to a request that is not out of bounds from your perspective. Lord, I ask that you continue to let your word just take root, that we can live it daily and be examples, God, such that for someone who does not know you, that when they encounter us, they can see that by how we live, that we are a follower of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.